From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 658, Secure Deployment with guest Michael Nystrom, recorded Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I'm bringing back Michael Nystrom, who's a consultant for TruSec, focused in specializing in OS deployment and virtualization. Over in Stockholm, I believe. Are you home?
I'm not home. No. I'm at a customer site, so I'm about 2 hours from Stockholm.
Okay.
In a very tiny, well, you've been there too, hotel rooms.
Yes, European hotel rooms are sweet, and Swedish hotel rooms too. Like they're small.
Yes.
Holy man.
They are small. they do have a bed, and I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
But no, I'm working at a customer site this week and next week, actually. So it's going to be popping home on Friday and leaving again on Monday morning.
Right.
Ugly earth.
That's the life, man. And are you actually in the field working on deployment solutions for folks? Is that what they struggle with?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is an interesting customer. I can't tell you any details.
Of course.
For various reasons, but it's... it's interesting because we are going to do client deployment of very, very secure machines.
We're right.
going to do deployment of virtualization, and it needs to be very secure. And everything, always, every conversation with the customer is, and yes, and it also needs to be very secure,
yes.
Which means host guardian services, privileged access workstations, you know, all that thing that you don't do every day. And that's why I'm here, because... Well, the other guys have built things like this before. It's just they haven't massively deployed things like that in
sure.
scale.
So, what does a secure deployment look like over a normal deployment? Is it more certificates? Like, what changes?
Bunch of things. For instance, it's all about how do you move data between different networks. I mean, you and I are used to go like, well, do an RDP connection to the machine and copy the file, or, you know, net use, copy the file, and you're done, right?
Right.
So here, everything is isolated. It's micro-isolation. So everything is a network, and mm-hmm. everything needs to stay within the network, which means that the only way to move data between one location and another location, well, that's going to be pin-coded USB devices.
Wow. So literally sneaker net.
Yeah.
You're physically going, and this is updating servers. So you're going from data center to data center?
No, it's between the network. So let's say that I download a file on a blue station
mm-hmm.
and I need to have the file in a red station because I need a patch or I need an update. You know, I need
right.
something,
this
right?
is not pushing out necessarily new software. It's just keeping machines up to date so they're secure.
Or building it. So once everything is built, it's fine. But, you know, I have a script on my machine. Mm-hmm. I want to have that script because I don't want to rewrite it again. I can't take a photo because I can't use the camera.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. So you do that, and then you put it on a USB stick, put a pin code on the stick. It's not a pin code in software. The stick.
Physically.
Has a keyboard.
Neat.
Yes. Yeah, you put it in a machine. It's like a washing machine, and then it runs through software to verify that there's nothing really bad on that stick.
Right.
And then it spits out on the other side, and then you can take the stick, and it's like airlocks. It's really that needs to be done. So that's one thing. Other things are, do we have access to internet? Yeah, through proxy and only certain URLs.
Right.
Okay, that makes creating reference images challenging.
Tricky, yeah.
It can't be done. Yeah.
I'm suspecting that getting on the list of accessible sites in that security profile is pretty
yeah.
tough. Unlikely.
Yeah. And that needs to be, you need to tell them in advance.
Right.
So, you know, this is what we need to have, and go like, mm-hmm, okay. And then come on, not that site, but that site is fine. And then you have things like, well, let's say that you do config manager client deployment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nothing fancy. You boot a machine, you hit F12 and the boot image starts, and everybody knows you can hit F8.
Right.
To get to the command prompt.
Yep.
No.
They turn that off.
No. No, you can't, because that means you can access the BitLocker keys and do things like that.
Right.
You can access the operating system while it's running, and it's not protected. And at that time, the disk is not encrypted. And it does have access to file shares at the same time, because it's downloading files. So it does have access to the config manager server, for instance. So no, can't be done. Okay, you use MDT and you put in the name and password in clear. No, you don't. You actually need to type the name and password every time, and you need to be on a certain network. So that's deployment security. Now the interesting part comes. It's like a birthplace when you build this machine. So building a privileged access workstation means that it's not a member of a domain. It's not a member of anything. It doesn't have any agents on it. It does Right. only have the operating system, period. Then on top of that, you build virtual machines. Mm-hmm. Virtual machines for different environments to manage. And then you need to protect the virtual machines. And you do that by shielding them. So everything is BitLocker encrypted. Everything is shielded VMs. And that means certificates, signing, virtual VPN, smart cards, you know, all that stuff. And it sounds very easy when you read the document
Yes.
on the website that says, you know, you configured it this way. How do you do it fully automated?
Right.
How do you do it like a repeatable process? And now try to find the same information. Not that easy.
We did a show, I guess about a year ago, with Ned Pyle talking about the shielded VMs. It's great to hear you've got them out in the field. So you like them, but it sounds like they're not a trivial thing to work with.
Now, I do, because one of the biggest thing, you know, the company I work for, we don't only build things, we also rescue customers in distress.
Right.
And when we see things like, okay, so you run the hypervisor, doesn't matter what brand or vendor, right? You run your hypervisor in a network where users do have the ability to access them. Yes. Or indirectly. So the problem with security is the indirect permission.
Right.
And okay, so what's an indirect permission? Well, let's say this. You have a workstation, you don't have any permissions on that machine. It's just a workstation, right? And you're just a user. You're not even a local admin. You're just, you know, regular Joe.
Right.
Okay. But somebody is punching a hole in your machine. And that's not really difficult.
No.
It doesn't give them access to anything. But now they can run software on that machine to see if anybody with higher privileges has done any kind of access to that machine. Maybe not. Okay, maybe we need to force you to call help desk. So we're going to stop a bunch of services.
Right, again, which we can
again,
probably do.
And again. Yeah, and then you call the help desk and go like, hey, you know, my mouse stops working every 5 minutes. Can you take a look at that? Now the admin will log on with workstation administrative privileges.
Right.
So now we can elevate ourselves. Now we don't need your computer anymore. We have access to every workstation. So then we access the workstation. And then you poke on them. And hopefully somebody with higher privileges is going to access. Yeah, here's a server admin. Great, this guy has access to the SQL servers. Maybe somebody else on the SQL server have access to another server. Yes. Here's a guy that has access to the Config Manager server. Great, and Config Manager agents are installed everywhere. Great, I'm a domain admin.
Right.
Game over.
And now I can propagate anything on any machine on demand. Yeah. I own this network.
Yeah, and that means that if you can do that with a hypervisor that runs every virtual machine, dumping or copying a virtual machine that is running, regardless of its VMware or Hyper-V, exporting it and crash dumping against the running Minikatz against the AntiDS database, mm-hmm. then you have all the names and passwords. Well, you don't have the passwords; you have the hashes.
Right.
But today you can take a hash and you can you can Bing for decrypt hash, and you will find a bunch of web pages. You paste the hash. If it's a well-known password, you're going to get the password encrypted.
You're going to get it back. Yeah. And our hashes still aren't good enough that not enough salting that it's still, you can feed a hash out to the internet and it'll give you an answer.
Yeah. So the thing I like with shielding is that it creates this, this barrier. We define it as tiering, your tier system. Mm-hmm. It should not be easy to go from one tier to another tier.
Right.
That should be something that is complicated. It should take you the amount of effort that you now need to start making noises in the network so our detection system can find you.
Right.
I live in a house. What's the best burglar alarm I can have? It's really, don't do this, okay? But you put glass, smashed glass all over your lawn, you everywhere,
right.
And metal and rusty nails and screws, things
right.
that makes noises.
Yes.
There's no way you can really move up to the house without saying, ouch, ouch, I, ouch, ouch. That's your detection system. Or you have a dog. That works too.
Yeah. Well, something that triggers, right? One way or the other.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I appreciate that you make each step hard. That there's in that scenario, there's various points where it's like, now I got this, I have everything. You would hope with just enough administration that our administrators aren't using these global powerful accounts anymore. That they, when they needed to do work on that workstation, they just had workstation permissions. They did not pull out the all powerful account.
Here's a good example. Let's say that you're working as an admin on a machine. Mm-hmm. You logged on with your server admin account or something like that. It doesn't need to be the highest, right? It's just a server admin account. And you need to fire up a remote desktop connection to another machine. You do that, you type in your name and password.
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing. And this is what our admins should think. There's something popping up asking me for credentials. I'm already logged on to this machine.
Right.
Why? Do I need to type it in again?
Yes.
Well, you need to do that because it's an RDP connection. Yes. But the RDP connection is configured to store my credentials in the other machine. It's more like putting your credit card into an unknown device in the middle of the street. Nobody does that.
No.
Well, a few do, but in general, you don't do that. So can you avoid this? Sure. You can either use restricted admin mode, mm-hmm. which means it's using single sign-on, or you can use the remote credential guard. Both of these solutions doesn't require you to type in the name and password again.
Right.
One of these techniques, the restricted admin mode, has been available since Windows 7. When I talk with admins about this, they go like, I never heard about it.
They just don't know.
No, they don't know.
Yeah.
And, there's a protected group in Active Directory. And when I do trainings, I ask, do you know what this group is? I don't know. I never seen it before. Never heard of it. Okay. So if you're an admin, you should be a member of that group because it means that the Kerberos ticket is shortened down. So it's not stored that long of a time. And it doesn't allow you to do NTLM. It only allows you to do Kerberos authentication.
Interesting.
So it's protected. It's protecting your account.
Yeah, it's locking it. It's locking it down that extra step. It's interesting to think in terms, and you're not the only one who's been saying this, Michael, that we need our admin accounts to be the most secure.
Yes.
That we actually we can afford to jump through these extra hoops. It's important to jump through these extra hoops.
Yeah. And maybe you need to have multiple accounts.
Yeah.
Well, I have a home. I have multiple keys.
Yeah.
I have a key to my garage. That's not the same key that works for everything else, right? And then I have the front door, and then I have the backyard and stuff like that. Different keys.
Yeah.
I have them all. My wife doesn't have all the keys. My kids certainly doesn't have all the keys. I'm the only one with the key to the garage, because in the garage is a Jeep, and it's, you know, it's my Jeep. And
right.
I don't want anybody to touch it. So it's very simple. You can do that with a Jeep, right? If you have a Jeep, you're allowed to say, I don't want anybody else to touch it, right? I think that's okay. And that's easy. And everybody understands that. But then when you come to IT, you go like, well, I only have one account.
Yeah, the super user account that once somebody cracks this, they've owned my network.
Yeah. I actually have a really bad story. A friend of mine was working with a customer, and they weren't patched. You know, really ugly, didn't patch the machines. So my friend told the customer, well, you really need to patch your machines because you're like a year behind.
Mm.
Okay, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
And this guy, he really, you know, yeah, you're right. I think you're right. We should patch it. So on a Saturday evening, he interactively logged on to every server in the domain using his server admin account and did patch them. And on Sunday morning, they were ransomware.
Of course they were. Yeah. Because they'd already been exploited at that point.
Because he accidentally, he logged onto a machine where they had software that sniffed it.
Yeah. So the idea that I haven't patched for a year and I'm probably already exploited.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And if you really need to log on to a server, you can log on locally.
Yes.
You don't need domain credentials to run Windows Update.
No.
I mean, often do you really need to have domain credentials when you're doing management? Well, not on a machine, not operating system things. Application, yeah, sure. But for running Windows Update, use a local logon. Use LAPS or something like that. So you have unique passwords on all the machines. I usually say this to customers. If it's really easy for you, it's really easy for everybody else.
I love that. That's a great line. And Michael, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. No one wants to be that company that could have done something, but didn't. With Policy Pack, you can get out of running with local admin rights, but keep end users productive. With Policy Pack, you can stop ransomware before it even runs. And with Policy Pack, you can increase security of browsers, applications, and Java. Policy Pack works alongside Group Policy or your MDM solution, or can be used by itself with Policy Pack Cloud. Don't give the bad guys even an inch. Actually do something by getting Policy Pack installed and increasing security today. Start your free trial at www.policypack.com and learn what thousands of other admins have already discovered. Policy Pack, securing your standards. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Michael Nystrom. And we're talking about security and deployment kind of together, because I think the two go hand in hand because of this elevated permissions set of exploits. So, yeah. You know, just enough administration also speaks to this idea of use the weakest account you can for each of these tasks. Just so I've been equating the idea of that we still have a super user account, but it's behind glass. And when we break it, it's kind of a big deal. Like you never want to use that account. And if you do, it's because something went wrong. Like out of that should be some kind of after action report that says we need to make another account with lower privileges, but it has this particular privilege, which is why we went to that super user account. Am I crazy? Is that too much?
No, I don't think you're crazy. That's the way it should be, right? Mm. I mean, it's credentials. They are pretty much like credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't throw them around. I don't give them to anyone.
Right.
And I don't put them in machines that I don't trust.
Yeah, that's fair. Even if you nominally own that machine, quote unquote.
Yes. But that's the problem. So I'm doing a remote connection to a machine. And here's the, you know, listen to this. So I was working with a customer, and the user calls in and said, they think they've been hacked.
Hmm.
So I did a remote desktop connection to the machine, and yes, it was hacked. And immediately after that, everything was hacked.
Remote connection is
what? I wonder why.
Yeah.
So if you go back to, you know, the starting of the PC era, if a machine was, you know, weird with a virus or anything like that, the first thing you do is to unplug the network cable.
Yeah. Get it off the network.
But this guy did it the opposite around.
Yeah.
Let's connect to the machine and give the attacker my name and credentials. Here they are.
Yeah. Would you like a super user? Here you go.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is also the black hats getting smarter, right? Like, this is the reverse honeypot.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw the super user to the machine that I can read it from.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, really, when you think about it, for in an evil way.
Yes. I mean, these guys are, I wouldn't say they are super smart, but they are lazy. I mean, they are lazy admins. They know how to automate things. They know how to put no effort at all into finding your weakness. If these guys were working on, you know, on the good guy side, they will do magic finding issues and errors in your network. But they don't. They work on the bad side.
But it seems to me they're also counting on our laziness too, that we will roll out the super hammer and instead of being a little more cautious. So some caution and suspicion goes a long way here.
It does. And the thing is that we had a customer, it's like 2 years ago or something like that. They were hacked by five organizations at the same time.
Oh my goodness. It's like the hackers are fighting over your property.
Yeah. So five different hacker organizations was fighting to get in.
Wow.
I think they spent the first attack was, well, the ransomware attack came about 4 months after the first entry.
Mm-hmm.
So they spent like 4 months. Did they really work on, you know, this customer for 4 months? No, they just installed software on the machines and then they waited happily to the software to report back something like, here's the name and password. Thank you. And then they logged on.
Right. Only when you gave it to them. They're not putting out any effort at all.
No. They're just waiting. Because eventually somebody will do something stupid.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's a problem. As the defender of the customer and corporate network and data, you cannot do a single mistake. And you need to be correct every time, right? As an attacker, you only need to succeed once.
Right. And act on it successfully.
So it's a very mean game. It's really nasty. It's like playing hockey, and they can have any number of players, and we can have five and a goal. And they can sneak up behind, and they don't even need to have one puck. They can have multiple. And maybe they are invisible. That's also okay for them. We can't, but they can. So that's the trick.
Yeah.
And so this is back to, you know, education. It's really about education.
Well,
when you explain this, customer go like, oh, holy cow.
Yeah. And immediately I'm starting to think in terms of, I need to roll out a new version of software to a group of machines, or I need to do an update to the machines.
Yeah.
What account am I using to do that update? Should I be using separate local admin only accounts for each machine?
Mm-hmm.
Is that practical? Like, do the tooling help me do that?
Yes and no. They only need to be local admins to install a software. They don't need to be, you don't need to have the same account on every machine. You don't need to. Most people do, but you can change the password on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That's easy. It's just, you know, change the password. How often can you do that? I don't know. Create a PowerShell script and change the password every hour.
That's pretty often. But even if you just change it after the deploy.
Yeah. But do people do that? No, they have the same service account
for
using for, you know, joining the machine to the domain. It's going to be the same name and password for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Never change.
Yeah. But it's just that idea. Well, I mean, ideally, I would use local admin accounts with different passwords for each machine. I just don't know that MDT or even SCCM helps me enough.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
You can put, but you can see things. So that account can only be used to log on to workstations,
right?
And servers.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make conditions to say it can only be used in these machines.
Yeah.
Okay. And it can never log on interactively.
Interesting. Good point, right? Just restrict that.
And it can never log on to from any other machine than that machine. And, it, you know, you can set rules,
mm-hmm.
which makes it harder. Doesn't make it impossible, but it makes it harder. Now they need to fight for it.
Yeah.
Now they need to.
Could you also set a time limit on how long they can be logged in? If this account's only used for installing software, it just doesn't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Things like.
See, now you're getting me to think clever, Michael. I'm feeling smarter already.
So it is doable. It's just, it's doable. It's just that it's, yeah, it's tricky. And then people go like, oh, we can move everything to the cloud, and that solves the problem.
Sure.
Okay, so you have the password of password, and now you're moving it to the cloud. Now everybody can use your password because it's password. So it didn't make it better. It's just you exposed it to many more people. Well, yeah. We can use geolocation lockdown. Yes, okay. So that's going to be United States. That's a pretty big location, right? Yeah. The U.S. It's not a local thing. It's like it's the entire country. So it is tricky. But it's doable. And as long as you make it hard for them, they will eventually give up and pick another customer that is easier to target. But it needs to be secure all the way. So that's why deployment needs to be secure. Mm-hmm. Running VMs needs to be very secure. Mm-hmm. And that's when all these things comes handy. Tiering. And I know that Microsoft just released a new document about privileged access workstation. And now they talk about five different levels of security on a workstation. You know, traditional enterprise security, DevOps security, privileged access workstation level 5, level 4. So we actually are going back to the old security baselines where we have like 3 of them, and they are changing that into 5 different levels. Depending on what kind of data you as a user are accessing, this is how you lock down your workstation.
Well, and it's nice to see some granularity too, right? We're used to you're either privileged or you're not.
Yeah, black and white.
Yeah, and which means everybody's privileged. It's gray. Yeah, it's definitely a step
forward.
It's
a grayscale.
This is really cool stuff, Michael. I really appreciate you thinking around this. I mean, you start thinking in terms of deployment and you realize it's a holistic security issue all around. And it's all these different pieces. Where can people learn more about you or see where you're working and what you're doing?
It's going to be on deploymentbunny.com. Mm-hmm. That's my personal blog. And then, of course, the truesec.com. But then I fly around like everybody else. So next time I will be MMS Jazz, Tech Days in Sweden. I won't go Ignite. Trusik Summit, somewhere in, I'm going to be an app manage event in Amsterdam. So I have at least 4 or 5 major events before Christmas.
Awesome.
And then it's the Deployment Bunny.
Yeah, otherwise Deployment Bunny. Michael Nystrom, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.